Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope everybody can hear me okay. Give me a thumbs up or something if you can hear me. Yes? Okay, good. All right. I'm going to start by praying. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for today. God, I thank you personally just for the opportunity. I thank you that you entrusted this gift to me. I'm thankful for my parents who trust me enough to be able to deliver this word to this church, to this people of God. I'm humbled. I'm honored. I'm a little nervous, but God, you're going to take over and you're going to have your way. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, I pray. Amen. Again, good morning, everybody. So my mom texted me and asked me to speak. And at the first time she texted me, I ignored it. and then she texted me again like a week later and I was like, all right, yes, mom, I'll do it for you. And she said, no, baby, don't do it for me. Do it for the Lord. And that do it for the Lord that she hit me with hit a little different because normally I have messages on deck just in case somebody asked me to preach or something pop off. I'm usually ready to go. So if somebody asked me to preach, I got a message from 2 years ago that I wrote, this is it. Or I got a message from 6 months ago that I wrote, this is it. I'll use this and the Holy Spirit will take over and he'll take it in whatever direction that he wants to take. But for this one, when she said, do it for the Lord, I had to think a little bit differently. And it's tough for me to come up with messages on the fly. I guess it wasn't on the fly. She asked me a couple of weeks ago. But the way my mind works and the way my brain works is different. And it's weird. I'm going to try to explain it. So most people think like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's linear. It comes out smooth. It's this and then this and then this. The way my mind works, I go 1, 2, purple. 12, Batman, grits, 3, 4. And it's weird. It's just weird to me because God gave me the gift of communication and he also gave me the assignment to teach. So now I have to take what I feel is like a jumbled mess of thoughts and communications and I have to present them in a way that's linear so that somebody can understand them. And it's extremely frustrating on my part because God gave me this huge assignment. He said he wants me to teach, train, motivate, mentor, equip, and empower. But how do you want me to do that with this brain that you gave me? Here's the revelation. The same God that gave me the gift, the same God that gave me the assignment, was the same one that gave me the brain and my unique way of thinking. So this morning, we are going to trust God to make this make sense, okay? Because he's the one who gave it, and he's the one who gave it to me, and he's the one that's gonna make this make sense. So the minor point, the first point that I'm gonna bring up is stop hating on the gift that God gave you, okay? Stop hating on the gift that God gave you. He gave you a certain set of gifts. He gave you an ability. He gave you a talent and he gave it for a reason. And you have to think about it the whole entire time that you're hating on this thing that God gave you. Every time you use it, somebody gets blessed. Every time you use it, somebody gets set free. Every time you use it, somebody gets snatched back from the brink. So embrace what God gave you, develop it and use it. And that's on period. Anyway, let's get started. So I'm doing this for God. So I stopped and I settled myself down and I said, all right, I asked the Spirit, what do you want to say to your people? And then I shut up and I listened and he said, get your priority straight, not your priorities, get your priority straight. So I had to look up the word priority. Priority, the one thing of most importance. Priority was never intended. That word priority was never intended to be pluralized or plural. I don't even know if that's pluralized. Somebody will teach me that later. Anyway, but the word priority was never intended to be plural. So if you say priorities, technically, if you have priorities, there is still only one thing that is of most importance. So you have a to-do list. Only the first thing is the priority. And once that's done, it goes away. And the second thing becomes the number one, our most important goal, our most important task. That's the way it works. So I'm like, after all of that, after reading the word and getting that definition priority, I'm like, so what's the priority? And God said, the priority is love. And I'm like, bet, let's go. Okay, let's go to Corinthians and let's go to John and let's go to, and the Spirit said, stop, slow down. You about to hit a speed bump, run it back. Relax for a minute. I'm on step three. You're on step Batman. I need you to reel it in and relax. And so he said, the priority is the love relationship with God. And I heard that all through testimony service. I heard that in everybody's prayer this morning. The priority is the love relationship with God. Matthew 22, when they tried to trap Jesus, they said, which is the most important commandment? Which is the one that tops all of them? And Jesus' response was this: you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's what he said. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the prophets' demands are based on these two commandments. Now he gave two. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength. And number two, love your neighbor as you love yourself. What did we just talk about? The word priority, one thing of most importance. So although he gave two, there was still one that was first. There was still one that was the priority. And that priority, of course, is that relationship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And so some of you might be thinking, Mike, are you telling me not to love people? No, that's not what I said. And that's not what I intended at all. But if you get your priority straight, if you tap into the relationship first, then everything else falls into place and everything else falls into order. David said, one thing have I desired from the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever, beholding the beauty of his countenance, which represents worship, inquiring within his temple, which represents wisdom and understanding. But David understood that one thing was the priority, and that was dwelling in the house of the Lord. I have to get to where you are. Everything else will fall into place. Everything else is attached to it. All other gifts, all other purposes, all other people, all other things that I would ever need to relate to, that I would ever need to conquer, that I would ever need to consume, are connected to dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Do your thing, Holy Ghost. Okay. So the relationship is the most important thing. And if we ever get that straight, then everything else falls into place. When we take communion, the scripture says, and this is Jesus talking, do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember me. Do this to remember the relationship that you have with me. Do this to remember the connection that you have with me. The Bible says in John 15, I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart and outside of me, you can't do anything. The point is, the priority is the love and relationship with God. The love relationship with God. Okay, the Bible says things like, if you love me, keep my commandments. When Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? He did it three times. Do you love me? Yes, I love you, God. Then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, God. Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Peter was like, God, you know everything. Of course you know that I love you. What is it that you're trying to get from me? I want you to feed my sheep. If you love me, do this. If you love me, do this. My dad always says that God's love language is obedience. If you really love him, if you're really attached to him, if you really have this relationship that you say you have, then it is time for you to tap in and keep his commands. And I'm not just talking about the Big Ten. There's some stuff that God has asked us to do as individuals. We all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have abilities, and we all have a purpose. And the point is to establish and do that purpose with our lives, with all of our strength, with everything that's in us, so that we can, number one, establish the kingdom of God, and number two, bless the people that need to be blessed, and heal the people that need to be healed. There is a hurting and dying world out there. There is blood attached to our gifts, we need to understand that even as we are, as messed up, jacked up, and worthless as we might feel at times, somebody somewhere prayed. Somebody somewhere called unto God with all of the strength that they had left. They were in such turmoil. They were in such pain. They were hurting so bad. And they prayed to God. They said, God, I need help. God, I need deliverance. God, I need somebody to lay their hands on me. God, I need somebody to pray for me. God, I need somebody to help me get out of this situation. And God's answer to that prayer was answered when you were born. That's what I'm talking about. The love relationship with God. If you love him, keep his commandments. If you love him, do what he's asking you to do. So tap into that deeper thing and say, you know what, God? You gave me this gift. You gave me this purpose, and I'm going to stay in connection and relationship with you so that you can see that it gets done. All right, so we've established that. So going back to the conversation I had with the Spirit, okay, now that we've talked about the priority, now that we understand that the priority is relationship with you, now that we understand that we have to seek after you with all of our heart, now that we understand that if we love you, we need to keep your commandments, what is it? What scriptures do you want me to use? Can we go to Corinthians now? Do you want me to go to the Gospel of John, or do you want me to go to John 1, 2, and 3? Because I know where the love relationship is at. You know, I know all about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm brought up in this thing. I'm pushing 40, but you get preached to by my mom and my dad on a weekly basis. My grandmother is on this call, so I got it honest. My auntie is on this call. It runs in the family. It's in my blood. I can't even brag about it. I can't even be that confident in it because I didn't give it to myself. It's in the blood. It's in the DNA. It came through. I keep telling y'all, like, I'll preach, but you know, my brother preaches too, and my sister is a choreographer, but if you give her a minute, she will take a text, give you 3 points and a benediction. She will preach to you. It's just in us. So I'm not even bragging about that. So I'm like, yo, God, let's go, right? And the Spirit said, okay, I want you to preach Hosea. I'm like, Hosea? I'm like, Lord, have you read Hosea? Do you know what that's about? Maybe you meant Song of Solomon. Let's go to Song of Solomon. And the Spirit was like, nope, Hosea. So I'm like, all right, I don't know how you gonna make this love message work with Hosea, but I'm gonna go ahead and do your will. So let's go. Hosea chapter 1. Let me pull it up. All right, I'll read it if you don't have it. All right. Chapter 1, verse 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Lord gave this message to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings in Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoshash, was the king in Israel. All right. Are you with me? Because it's about to get deep, right? Hosea's wife and children. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go marry a prostitute. What in the world is going on right now? He tell him to go and marry a prostitute. What in the pretty woman is going on here? So that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. So he uses this marriage to a prostitute to establish as like a metaphor to describe his relationship with us. I mean, to describe his relationship to the children of Israel, because that's how they do him. Anyway, let me go on and read. So Hosea, being the obedient guy that he is, marries Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she becomes pregnant and gave Hosea a son. And the Lord said, name the child Jezreel, for I'm about to punish the king Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murder that he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I will bring an end to Israel's independence. I will break its military power in the valley of Jezreel. Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, name your daughter Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved. okay, we're talking about love. That's the priority one. But I'm gonna go ahead and keep reading. For I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them, but I will show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies, not with weapons and armies and horses or chariots, but by my power at the Lord, as the Lord their God. After Gomer had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, again, that means not loved, okay? In this message about loved. Anyway, Lo-Ruhamah, she again became pregnant and gave birth to a second son. And the son's name, name him Lo-Ami, not my people. So I don't love you and I don't know you. You're not my people. For Israel is not my people and I am not their God. Yet the time will come when Israel's people will be like the sands of the seashore, too many to count. Then at the place where they were told, you are not my people, it will be said, you are children of the living God. Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together. They will choose one leader for themselves, and they will return from exile together. What a day that will be. The day of Jezreel, when God will again plant his people in his land. In that day, you will call your brother Ami, my people, and you will call your sister Ruhamah, the ones I loved. Okay, let me take a step back. So, God wants me to teach a love message, and he wants me to use Hosea, who married the prostitute, and named his kids Jezreel. Jezreel, why? Because I'm about to punish Israel and bring their military power in the Valley of Jezreel. Name your daughter Lo-Ruhamah, not loved, for I will no longer show love to you, and I'm not going to forgive you anymore. And I want you to name your other son Lo-Ami, not my people, because you ain't my people, and I ain't your God, because that's how y'all do me, okay? So, this is the love message that God wants me to preach. So, major point, God wants you to understand. God wants you to get it. God wants you to not just be in relationship with him, but he wants you to love him. He wants you to be passionate about him. He wants you to understand things and understand things on his level. And I'm saying that that's a major point because he told Hosea to marry a prostitute. Not because he wanted him to go through. How am I supposed to say it? Come on, Holy Ghost. He told him to marry a prostitute because he wants Hosea to understand exactly how it feels when you love somebody, when you pour everything that you have into them, when you give them everything and then they treat you like you're nothing and they break your heart and they forget where they came from, and they forget that you're the one who established them, that you're the one who healed them, that you're the one who loved them through all of your stuff and all of your mess and all of this go through. I want you to know how it feels when that person turns their back on you, when that person who you done gave everything to turns and goes with somebody else. I want you to understand how it feels. So I want you to understand that Hosea, as a prophet, when he opened his mouth, when he said these words to the people of Israel, he knew the heart of God. It wasn't a game for him. It wasn't a joke for him. It wasn't just a message that was whispered into his ear. It was something that he had literally lived through. And so, my God on today, I need somebody to understand that while you're going through, God is taking you through because that's the way he teaches. That's the way you learn. It's more than just about reading some chapters of scripture. It's more than just hearing about hearing good teachings or hearing good preachings. The stuff that you live through, my God, on today, the stuff that you've actually walked out, the scars that you can show, the stuff that you live through. Imagine how heavy and how weighted your words are going to be when you speak into somebody's life. And you know exactly what they've been through. The stuff that they can only say in tears. The stuff that they can only say in moans and groans. You will have the words to speak to them. That is the stuff that God wants you to understand. That deeper understanding of God and who he is. Like I said, you can't get that from reading. You can't get that from preaching. Some stuff, you got to grab the Holy Spirit by the hand. And he got to walk you through that thing. So he asked Hosea to marry a prostitute. That's what this whole book is about, okay? He asked her to marry a prostitute. So when he spoke of that judgment to the people of Israel, when he spoke of betrayal, when he spoke of redemption, he knew exactly how God felt. And he was able to communicate that message in such a way that they are going to understand that God is not happy with us. Okay, spoiler alert. All right. Chapter 2, Gomer, his wife and also slash prostitute, goes back to the streets. Okay. Ludacris tried to tell us you can't turn no hoe into a housewife. A hoe can't act right. That's what he said. Okay. I didn't make those words up. Okay. The Lord anointed Ludacris to speak that message, and we all needed to understand it on today. All right. You can't turn no hoe into a housewife. And then chapter 2 goes down. It's line after line, judgment after judgment after judgment. God says to the people of Israel, God says to us, this is how you do me. This is what's about to happen to you. This, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. And by the end of the chapter, God is still like, you know what? I love you and I'm gonna bring you home. And so what happens in chapter 3? Spoiler alert, God tells Hosea, now go get her. Go get her from the streets, bring her back home, clean her up, and make her your wife again. Okay? Do you understand how heavy that is? This is the type of love that this is the type of love that God has. It's way deeper than anything that we've ever experienced. This is the level that God is going to, Shirley, I love you so much. This is the level that God is trying to get us to. Let's go to Isaiah 55 real quick, because some of us really don't understand it. Isaiah 55. Yeah, let me understand this phone. Come on, Lord. Act right. Where is it? I'm going to the major prophets. Isaiah 55. And verse 8. Is that it? Yep. Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything that you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. So my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rains and snow come down from heaven, and they stay on the ground, and they water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, produce seeds for the farmers, and the bread for the hungry. It is the same way with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and will prosper everywhere I send it. That was verse 11 where I stopped. We have to understand that God is way, way, way beyond us. Way, way, way higher than us, okay? Way higher than us. So he instructs Hosea to marry a prostitute. Prostitute goes back to the streets, and he tells Hosea, go get her, bring her home. Now, listen to me. If I don't know anything, if I don't know nothing at all, I do know one thing, okay? I am married to this lovely woman that you probably see on camera, Desi, okay? I've known her for 20 years, and I've been in a relationship with her for 11 of those 20 years. And I've been married to her for 9 of those 11 years. We're going on 10. Y'all pray for us. We're going to get there. Okay? I know for a fact that if I was to mess up today, tomorrow, it would be over. You hear me? Hear me when I say over. Okay? The friendship, the marriage, and probably my life. Over. Okay? Now, this is what God, this is the level that God is trying to take her. I've known this person for 20 years, shared my life with her for 11 of those 20. And I know if I jack up tonight, it's over with. She told me, okay? She told me before we got married, if you ever cheat. Well, she told me two things. One thing, Bendetta dropped some knowledge on her. And she said, Bendetta said to her, as long as he don't do the crack, he's going to be all right. That was the first piece of wisdom. The second piece of wisdom that I got was, if you ever cheat on me, I will dig your kidney out. Listen to me, people of God. I'm speaking through the Holy Spirit. If you cheat on me, I will dig your kidney out with a rusty spoon. That's what she said to me. This blessed woman of God, okay? This anointed woman of wisdom, this lioness of Judah told me that I will dig out your kidney with a rusty spoon because I want it to get infected. That's what she said. You know what I mean? That's what this woman told me. So for God, my God on today. So for God to ask Hosea to not only marry a woman from the streets that was already in the streets, then goes back to the streets, and then he says, now go get her and bring her home. That is a deeper kind of love. That is an amazing kind of love. That is a kind of love, and that's the kind of love he wants us to eventually get to. And please understand me, I know I ain't there, because if Desi mess up, I'm killing everybody involved. I already told her that. Listen, I'm a sweetheart, I'm a teddy bear, but if you take me there, my last name is still Savage. Don't play. So I'm killing everybody involved. I can't do it, okay? And she said she won't tolerate it either. But for God to do that with us over and over and over and over and several more times over than again, the way he heals us and we go back to the thing that made us sick, and how he delivers us and we go back to the thing that we needed deliverance from, and he gives us a word and he gives us these messages, and he keeps forgiving and he keeps pouring and he keeps loving and he keeps loving and he keeps loving and he keeps loving, and we keep running and we keep failing and we keep failing, and he keeps loving and he keeps loving and he keeps running. I need somebody to get this revelation, hallelujah, that God's love is way, way sweeter than ours. That God, the way that God is way, way deeper than us. And that's the level that he's trying us to get us to. My God on today, Holy Spirit. Take it right there. All right. So Hosea shows us in this passage that God has feelings. And he wants us to understand them. This is the whole reason why we have the Spirit of God. And so the first priority, our top priority, is to be in relationship with God. I need everybody on this call to understand that if you don't have said relationship, even if you do have it, let's go deeper. Let's go harder. If you've never been saved, if you don't know who Christ is, today's the day. If you are saved and you do know who Christ is, today's the day we go to a deeper level. I'm not judging anybody. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what you've done. But the point is, God loves you. He loved the whole world enough to lay down to give his only begotten son. Jesus loved the whole world that enough to lay down his very life so that you could be with him, so that you could have access to the Father. So I'm asking everyone under the sound of my voice, please repeat these words after me, if you so choose, if you want to start your relationship, or if you want to take your relationship to the next level. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I accept that I am a sinner. I accept that I mess up sometimes. And Father, I also accept your sacrifice as mine. And Father, I also accept your love for me. Father, from this day forward, I want to dedicate my life to you. My heart, my mind, and my spirit are now yours. Because I love you, I'm going to do what you say. In Jesus' mighty and matchless name, I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer, that you just got saved, if you were saved already, we're going to a new level. So I need everybody on this call, get out your pen and paper for the next minute. And before we give the benediction or anything, but for the next minute, I want you to really just tap in and pray. We all got the Spirit of God, all right? God wasn't selfish in that. He gave it freely, okay? We are all spirit-filled. For the next minute, I need you to just quiet yourselves. Listen to the Spirit of God and have him give you whatever the instruction is for the week, for the day, for the purpose, whatever that might be for you. And I want you to just write it down. Put the date on it, okay? For the next minute, starting right now. All right, people, I hope you really enjoyed that. I hope you got something from it. Hope you were able to pull some nuggets and learn some stuff. Now it's time for the final thought. So my final thought today is, knowing is not enough. Knowing is not enough. Having the right answer available, having the know-how, but still not taking action on the things that you are aware of is not enough. It is time for you to finish the work. So take those good things that you know, take that knowledge, take that understanding that you have, and put it to good use. There is somebody out there that needs what you have. There is somebody out there who is dying and struggling and suffering, waiting for you to step up and do what it is that you're called to do. So please, knowing is not enough. You need to get to work. I love you. And remember, you are not a mistake. You, my friend, are a solution.